Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, gather around the radio. It's time now for another installment of A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups. My name is Michael Harrison. It's my privilege to serve as anchor of the program. It's an ensemble show, and we have lots of good people involved. Its host and its founder is Carol Marx. Carol Marx is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues, and she is indeed a champion in the battle against ageism. Carol's taking the weekend off, so I'll be doing the interview chores as well as anchoring the program. And we have an exciting program for you. It's kind of a fun program and an inspirational one. Later in the show, we'll be talking with a rising star in the country music field who's recorded a song that has a perfect message for talk radio conversation and an uplifting one for our nation. She's written a song and recorded it, and it's titled America United. And her name is Dee Dee Wiedekind. I think you'll be hearing a lot about her in the future, and you're going to hear her on the program later on in the show. And we're going to kick it off now. It's spring. That's right. It is spring. And with spring comes that thing called spring cleaning. Oh, yeah. And two pixie-like sisters, and I only say that because they have a business called Pixies Did It, which is very, very cute and a very powerful message. They are professional organizers, and they're personality type experts. It's Katie and Kelly McMenamin. And they wrote a book called Organize Your Way, Simple Strategies for Every Personality. It's brand new. It's on Amazon. It's published by Sterling. And our guest is Katie McMenamin. Katie, I think it's very exciting that you've got this book, Organize Your Way, Simple Strategies for Every Personality, published by Sterling. And what I like about it is, one, I'm always fighting the battle against the pile of stuff that follows me day to day, week to week, month to month, and over the decades in my life. But I think it's really cool that you did this with your sister, the McMenamin sisters. And the two of you were kind of in a business together called Pixie Did It. Could you tell us a bit about how that came about? And then we'll talk about the book.
Well, that's kind of the answer to the question, who organized you? Pixies did it.
Uh-huh.
Yes, and we started it because, we've been kind of, this idea has been with us our whole life. We had to share a room when we were children, and my sister had to walk through my scary side to get to her nice side with her, stuffed animals all nice in a row and everything. And so she has been trying to get me organized her whole life, and I've always been wanting to get organized because she's just naturally organized. So I've been trying and failing and trying and failing, always that pile of papers, there's always one part that I could never, keep to. And finally, when we got to the place where we wanted to start this business, we realized that there might be a different way for me to organize. And so we kind of went out into the jungles of Manhattan and did an anthropological study on people's homes and how they organized, and started coming up with solutions that worked for people who were more naturally messy or different than my sister, who was naturally organized.
Are you the older sister?
I am, yes, but she's always been the more together one.
So is there a big difference between you, or are you very close?
3 years, so, not that much, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so it wasn't that all of a sudden this little kid came into your life and started pushing you around and telling you that your room is a mess.
She's a good little sister, but, eventually, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, she's just, in fact, in a lot of ways, it took longer for her to get pushy because she was the little sister. So when we finally got to her and started...
Do you think that this is something that, here you are, two sisters, close in age, living in the same room, same family, same home, and you're so different in this particular area. Of course, now you've trained yourself to be organized, and now you're organizing others. But there's something about it that comes down to our personalities, and I know that you focus on this in terms of how you approach your clients. And I've always wondered about myself, because all the way back to when I was a kid, I'm pretty smart. I was a good student. I run, multitasking operations and businesses, but I have problems keeping a desk organized or keeping my briefcase organized or, things that actually require organizing. And is there something wrong with me? Is it a personality thing?
Are people like my sister, and they're the ones who, and because they naturally know how to get organized, and it's like almost, their motivation is different than ours, and so they're just like, they can't relax until everything's organized and put away, whereas I can relax when I need to relax, And that's, it's kind of easy for me, but what I can't do is organize unless I'm motivated. Like there's something that, like a party that's going on. Then all of a sudden I can get my everything organized. You know, if there's some kind of deadline, that helps me get organized. Or when I'm overwhelmed and have too much going on, then I can get organized. But there has to be something motivating. A lot of things what we look for is what motivates each personality type to get organized. And that's different. And I think that can be a lot of things. People are always, and it's also too, like people are like, it's always the should. You should do it this way and that way and this way. And there are so many different ways to organize. And that's why it's called Organize Your Way. You've got to find out, first of all, who you are in the Pixie universe. We make it kind of easy and fun, whether you're classic or fun or a smart or an organic. And then you've got to organize using that type as your guide. And then you can find out little ways along the way that's just right for you.
There's a lot of psychology to this, isn't it? I mean,
yes,
you have to
do.
It sounds to me like you guys are kitchen table therapists.
I mean, we always joke that we're kind of marriage counselors too. When we go into someone's house, usually, like the most difficult thing about being organized is living with somebody else and children. really is kind of what sparked this business, is that I started having children, and all of a sudden, I wasn't just organizing myself. I was dealing with my husband's, you know, organizational style and then my children. And so that's when it really became a much more of a pressing issue for me. And that's when we started discovering different ways to do it.
It's interesting that you mentioned marriage counseling, because some people who've never lived together and then they live together, boy. The smallest differences can be great, like you don't put your socks away, or you know, the old joke, not putting the top on the toothpaste. These could be little irritants that.
And what's strange is that those kind of things do bother me, even though you'd think, since I'm more of a messy type, that they do. But you know, one of the things we say is that you need to make for everybody. In this way, it's easier, especially because you're going to be living with different types, is to make organization as simple as possible. So try and get it down to one step. You know, so if you have a lid on your hamper, your clothes hamper, and your spouse keeps putting your clothes on top of the hamper instead of in the hamper, you got to remove the lid. It's like simple things like that. Even like hanging up a coat in a closet is actually a five-step process versus a hook, which is one step. So those are the little things that we, you know, a lot, little pixie tips we have throughout the book, and you know, in the guts of the book, to kind of show you. Let's make it easier, because at the end of the day, everyone these days works and either takes care. Everyone feels like they have more than one job these days, and so when we get home, we're like, we need to relax. You know, we need to just, you know, be our shoes off self. So make it as easy as possible, because usually people are organizing both their office and their home.
Yeah, well, I find it interesting, and you said that it doesn't bother you unless you have something happening. Like I'll sometimes invite people to come to the house for dinner just so I have a reason to clean the place.
Exactly. telling of who you are, and also that you've always had these little messes that follow you around. And it's like one of the things we say, people that have more of a visual type memory, that they need to have things out to remember they're there. One time, my sister and I shared an office very briefly, and I realized how ingrained and how different her way of thinking was, in that we were working on the Smith file, and I'm like, where is it? Where's the Smith file? And she was like, it's in the filing cabinet. And I'm like, but it's not a finished, we're not done with it yet. Like, the filing cabinet is where archives goes, where files go to die. You know, for her, it's an active storage unit that she uses to keep organized. Whereas for me, it just doesn't work. I have to have those kind of things out in the open in front of me at all times.
We're talking with Katie McManaman, who has written a book along with her sister Kelly McManaman, the founders of Pixies Did It, a book about organizing. It's called Organize Your Way, Simple Strategies for Every Personality, published by Sterling. And we'll have more conversation with Katie McManaman when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues in a moment.
Going back to the My Vegas thing, you cost me a lot of misery, and all total, $2,700 in doggy fees, and all it took was one container of Dynavite, 2 pounds, 3 ounces, and my dog has been cured. Abby's a 5-year-old silky terrier. She had, like, chicken pox on her belly, clusters of bumps on her back, and she was allergic to like 70 some odd things. So the dermatologist, it was like, oh yeah, just keep giving her needles every 10 days, but she's not clearing up. And then it came up on my radio, Dynavite.
DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
Dynavite. is nutrition.
I give her the Dynavite after 5 weeks, and one morning there was nothing there, and I'm like, she's all clear. There wasn't one blemish on her body. Her fur is beautiful. She is totally happy. She is healthy, bump-free, pimple-free, shiny, silky. It turned our lives around. So thank you very much for Dynavite. I couldn't be happier. Dynavite's the bomb.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
My joints used to kill me. I'd wake up with stiff knees and a stiff back, and it wouldn't get much better throughout the day. I went to doctors and took almost every supplement you can think of, and nothing seemed to help. Then I found something called Oil Can Joint Lubricant. They use only top-of-the-line, all-natural ingredients, and I know many companies make similar claims, but here's the big difference. Oil Can ingredients are scientifically formulated to work together faster than anything else in the marketplace. That's guaranteed. I take Oil Can every day. My knee pain was gone in just a few days. So if you have knee pain, back pain, and you've tried everything, try Oil Can Joint Lubricant risk-free right now. I'm confident you'll have fewer aches and pains within days, or we will gladly refund your money. Call right now. 800-430-9466. 800-430-9466. 800-430-9466. 800-430-9466.
Do you use the expensive blue or yellow pills to charge your sex life? Are you thinking about it? What if we can promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pills deliver the exact same results for less than $3. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. And right now, radio callers will get 44 blue or yellow pills for $120 with free discreet shipping. You can save more than $700 off pharmacy prices. Charge your sex life now and save a ton of money. Call now and get your 44 pills and save over $700 and qualify for free shipping. Stop overpaying and call right now.
800-296-1548. 800-296-1548. 800-296-1548. That's 800-296-1548.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. And let's get back to the conversation I was having with Katie McManaman, who wrote, along with her sister Kelly McManaman, a book on organizing, perfect for spring cleaning and then some. It's called Organize Your Way, Simple Strategies for Every Personality, published by Sterling. And when we left off, we were talking about drawers and junk drawers and how she and I both have the habit of leaving things out because we're afraid if we put them away, we may never find them again. Drawers drive me crazy because anything that's on the top of the drawer.
Junk drawers. Yeah, they're junk drawers. Like, they just become junk drawers. No matter what I try and do with the drawer, it eventually becomes a junk drawer. And
you know what I realized?
Right.
You know when I realized I was in trouble? I realized that I had a problem with organizing spaces back when I was in school and I had my first locker. That was when I knew there was a problem. I noticed some kids had the neatest lockers and other kids, the lockers were various states of disarray. Mine was a wall of stuff. By the end of the year, forget it. And, and I knew even in first, second, third grade, there's something's not right here. And yet every year when I went back to school, I swore I'm going to get it right this time. And I never did all the way through high school. My lockers were always a mess. Now, some people say, well, that you're a creative type and you know, your desk is a mess. And they say, well, you know where everything is. Don't touch my mess because I know where everything is. But, I think it comes down to not taking care of things as you go along.
Yeah, and that's one of those things we do is that sometimes if you don't, it's like we have techniques for different personality types, and there are, like, for you, I would say, you need to take things, when you think of it, you're like, oh, let me do it right now. Because, you know, you're going to put it off. But if you think about it and you're inspired to do it when you're inspired to do it. Don't put it off. You know, don't try and use a planner if that's not ever worked for you, you know. And so one of the things we say, too, is, like, just let go of what your preconceived notions are of what organized is. Like, if you know where things are and you know how to get them, then you actually are organized because retrieval is the number one thing about organization. If you know how to retrieve it, where it is, how to get it quickly without a bowling ball falling down on your head, then you're organized.
Do you find
one of the things you say, like, accept that it's okay. Like, you know, that's all right. And one of the things we do is we just put structure around what people are already doing naturally so you don't have to change who you are. We just, like, you know, instead of you have all these tiles, put acrylic bins that are matching where your piles are, and then all of a sudden it looks purposeful. If you put labels on them, then other people can interact with your piles without worrying about upsetting you. You know, those are some of the little tips that we have throughout the book, and,
very cool, very cool. Now, you know, I find that the tendency to be disorganized follows you even into cyberspace. Have you noticed that some people's desktops, on their computers are messy?
Oh, yeah. And we do the same thing, though. You don't need, I mean, like, I don't use files in my computer because the search function is kind of like a visual thing. So, you know, I've gotten very good at searching. I mean, I can search for stuff on Google much easier than my sister. And I think it's just a natural way that my brain is, you know. And that's like, we have to organize the way our brain is wired. Otherwise, it's just going to be a disaster. You're going to keep trying and trying and trying and failing. So we finally have found a way for everybody to get organized easily.
One other thing I noticed that falls under this category, and your book is brand new. I haven't read the book. Full disclosure, I'm going to read the book, and I'm sure it's going to help me because I could use as much help in this arena as anybody who's disorganized in terms of clutter and things of that nature. I'm very organized in terms of my thinking. I'm not organized in terms of my dealing with stuff. But here's another one. Tell me if this falls under the category of what the Pixies deal with. And that is making appointments, setting a calendar.
Yeah, and that's the thing a lot of times people get confused is that my sister's very good at both appointments and stuff, but there are types that are good with appointments and not good with stuff. And there's types that are good with stuff but not appointments. And so sometimes you're like, I'm really, you know, my house is really neat and cluttered, but they're always 2 hours late, you know. There's all these different types, but we've been able to categorize them so you can figure out which ones you are, you know. And what the great thing about our book is if you haven't read it, it's really fun and easy to read, and we don't take it seriously. Like, life is too short and hard to take organizing seriously in a way that, like, you know, it's life or death. It's about making our life easier. And so, you know, it's a non-judgmental organization book. It's, like, perfect for Mother's Day. You're not going to upset anybody with this book, you know. You're not going to be like,
oh, thank goodness.
Organized. Here you go, you know.
Thank goodness.
It doesn't say ADD-friendly. Like, how do you get organized if you're ADD? There's no shame or blame with our book. It's all about making life easier. That's our motto. Life should be easier. It certainly isn't, but organizing it should be. So,
that's a great thing.
It's an easy gift to get everybody.
Katie, what about hoarders? Have you ever found when you're out there with new clients that sometimes it's more than you can deal with? Where you say to your sister, "Hey, Kelly, these people are crazy."
Yeah, we have turned down hoarders. Yes, absolutely, because it's a different. If there's also a psycho, I mean, that person needs both an organizer and a psychologist. But I have noticed watching the shows, because we both have a little, you know, we both like to watch all these organizing shows, is that people's personalities, you can see it differently. Like, some people hoard garbage, some people hoard stuff, like nice stuff. You know, it's like depends on the person. There's something going off there, but it depends. I think it's, you know, you could probably see personality in there. But, yeah, you definitely need more than one person in your life if you're hoarding.
That's a scary thing.
That said, we have taken on a few things that people always say, oh yeah, like my attic looks like a hoarder. I'm like, no, it's your attic. That's okay. You know, your kids when you die are going to be annoyed that they have to clean out the attic, but as long as your living space is fine, that's okay. You know, that's what those places are for. It's one of the things we did, because there's certain types that have a harder time letting go of stuff, and we have something called the magical later box.
No.
So if you're not sure what to do with it, you put it in a later box, you wait, a couple months, a year, and if you can remember what's in there, that you keep. But you can't remember what's in there, that you throw away.
How funny that is that we become attached to stuff. I've heard the saying, you don't own your stuff owns you.
Yeah.
And and it's so hard. And you say, why am I hanging on to this? Why? You know, and then there's the thing, the wayward thing that winds up sitting on the shelf or on the table for no reason. For no reason. It has no reason to be there and it's there for years.
Sometimes they'll walk by something and be like, I need to just put that away. And if I don't do it, like you said, right in that moment, it just stays there. Like the first time I have the thought, I've got to take care of it or it just won't get taken care of.
So let me ask you a question as we wrap this up. Is it hard to get along with these pixies? Are they difficult to deal with? How do you keep them organized?
We named ourselves pixies because people who give advice are slightly annoying. There's always, you know, someone who's telling you what to do is always a little bit annoying. But we're pixies, so we're fun. You know, we're sprites, you know.
We
have fun doing what we do. And so, you know, it's a little bit of both. But, you know, my sister and I do well not living together. It's a very hard combo to have, to be two extremes on the spectrum like we are. But, you know, it's our love for each other and our mother and that keeps us glued to each other. So
I want to give everybody your website. It's pixiesdidit.com. Pixies is spelled pixiesdidit.com. And the book is called Organize Your Way, Simple Strategies for Every Personality. It's published by Sterling. It's available wherever books are. Amazon is the place. Go get it. And it's Katie McManaman and her sister, Kelly, of the same name, the McManaman sisters. And what a pleasure talking to you, Katie.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. This is great. It was so good to talk to you.
That was a fun conversation, and I'm inspired now to get my mess together. I mean, organize my act. It's something that I have tried to deal with for years and years, and this book looks like maybe it'll give me a help. I hope it helps you as well. Coming up next on A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups, a conversation with a rising star in the country music field who's recorded a song that has a message that's perfect for the times, the Indie Music Channel's 2016 Best New Female Artist. She is a bright, articulate woman who has plenty of stirring things to say about what's going on in America today. And they are not politically polarizing, but rather they are thoughts that fit all political ideologies. She delivers a powerful message in her new song titled America United, a message of peace, harmony, and unity. And she's been garnering a lot of attention in the country music world, and actually a lot of people are talking to her on talk radio about it. You'll be meeting Dee Dee Wiedekind. That's coming up next when A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups, continues in just a moment. Hi, this is Michael Harrison. I hope you're enjoying this installment of A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups, and finding it to be a meaningful listening experience. This wonderful little weekend program has been on the radio across America in one form or another for more than 20 years. Its mission is to provide mature Americans with information and content about aging to help them cope with the nonstop challenges of life during these hectic modern times. We're talking about health, finances, relationships, and plain old fun. Whether it's learning about the latest technology and social norms, or fondly remembering yesterday's arts and entertainment, A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups, is dedicated to serving that gigantic segment of the population so sadly ignored by most of today's popular media. Founded and hosted by a truly great lady, Carol Marks, one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the ongoing battle against ageism, this program is geared to what has commonly been referred to as the sandwich generation. Baby boomers who are coping with such challenges as still supporting their adult children while caring for their elderly parents. It's my honor and privilege to be associated with Carol Marks and be a part of her mission to support, defend, and inspire today's generation of what she lovingly calls seasoned citizens. A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups, online at www.atouchofgrey.com. We spell Grey with an E. And right here on this great radio station every weekend. Thank you so much for listening.
This is Brad Shepard. Whenever you think of Social Security, do you think of survivor's benefits too? You see, Social Security is more than retirement. Social Security makes regular monthly payments to the families of workers who die too. More than 7 million people get survivor's benefits from Social Security, including almost 2 million children. Benefits that pay for food and clothing, medical care, and school benefits you can count on when you're planning your financial future. For more information, go to the SSA website at www.ssa.gov.
Michael Harrison here. Those of you who follow talk radio and are interested in what goes on behind the scenes might also know me as the publisher of Talkers Magazine, the trade publication that serves the talk media industry. We cover the talk show business as it exists on radio, television, and the internet. I often have the opportunity to speak about these media as a guest on radio and TV talk shows or comment on industry developments in newspapers and magazines. For the past year and a half, I've also hosted a weekly podcast that delves into the media in general and focuses on the rapid changes, not only in radio, but all of communications technology. Changes that I believe are contributing to rewiring the human nervous system. Computers, social media, and all the different platforms of instantaneous communications that define the new digital age are combining to actually accelerate our evolution as a species. Sound pretty far out? Well, it is. As a matter of fact, the name of this podcast series is Up Close and Far Out with Michael Harrison. Each week, I interview an outstanding personality from the world of radio or any number of its related fields in the arts, sciences, entertainment, politics, or academia. It's available to download, and you can subscribe to it at absolutely no charge whatsoever at iTunes or at the website www.upcloseandfarout.com. Up Close and Far Out with Michael Harrison. Just a click away on your computer or mobile device. Visit iTunes or www.upcloseandfarout.com. Make Up Close and Far Out with Michael Harrison a weekly podcast listening experience. Thank you. This week on Up Close and Far Out with Michael Harrison, we talk to a local talk show host who makes a difference in Boise, Idaho, Kevin Miller.
Going back to the My Bags and saying, you cost me a lot of misery, and all total, $2,700 in doggy fees, and all it took was one container of Dynavite. 2 pounds, 3 ounces, and my dog has been cured. Abby's a 5-year-old silky terrier. She had, like, chicken pox on her belly, clusters of bumps on her back, and she was allergic to, like, 70-some-odd things. So the dermatologist, it was, oh, yeah, just keep giving her needles every 10 days. But she's not clearing up. And then it came up on my radio, Dynavite.
Dinovite. .com.
859-428-1000.
Dynavite is nutrition.
I give her the Dynavite after 5 weeks, and one morning there was nothing there, and I'm like, she's all clear. There wasn't one blemish on her body. Her fur is beautiful. She is totally happy. She is as healthy, bump-free, pimple-free, shiny, silky. It turned our lives around. So thank you very much for Dynavite. I couldn't be happier. Dynavite's the bomb.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
Dinovite.com.
Continuing now with A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. The music in the background is from an exciting song that's been released by a rising star in the country music field named D.D. Wiedekind, and it's quite inspirational.
United, don't divide us, 'cause united we all stand. We're different, yet all the same, in this great blessed land.
I want to congratulate you on the nice buzz that your wonderful song, America United, is getting, and I think it's just great. So congratulations to you. Nice job.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. It's been a whirlwind.
I'll bet. And I mean, it's so timely. And what's interesting is that I understand you actually wrote the song back about 4 or 5 years ago, and one would think that you just wrote it today because it's so pertinent to the news and to what's happening in this country today. Could you give us the backstory about how the song originally came to you and then what happened?
I actually wrote the song because I had noticed that there were a lot of people in America that were pointing their fingers at other people, blaming everyone, and seeming to, you know, accuse people of things and being very unhappy and not wanting to really support America and not really, you know, playing along and getting along with people. And it was just becoming a blame game. And this was way back in 2012 before the second term election for Obama. And I wrote the song because I thought that we needed a lot more unity. I was actually sitting in church, and the pastor was talking about patriotism, and it just hit me like a ton of bricks. The problem in America is we're just not unified as a people. We don't have that compassion for each other. We don't have that consideration. A lot of times we're just not kind. Like, I go to a city in New York, for example, or somewhere, and I say hi to people, and they look at me like, what do you want, you know? So it's just, I just noticed that we need to have we all need to be back on the same page, as we're all Americans. We all want pretty much the same things. We all want safety, security, love, family, a place to live, a job for the most part. I mean, most of us want all the same things. We want good neighbors and friends. And, you know, why don't we all just kind of stick together and remember that we're Americans, number one, first and foremost, and that, you know, we could set aside our differences. We can agree to disagree while still being respectful and kind and nice to each other, and realizing that, you know, we can further our country a lot more by not always fighting and bickering and pointing out the negative, which we're hearing a lot in the news. It's a lot of negativity. I think it just needs to stop, and people need to look at the positive and take time to smell the flowers.
Now, this all came to you while sitting there in church?
Well, it pretty much did, and the song actually came to me, and I was writing it on like a little back of a bulletin or something, and everybody
wow.
was looking at me because I was like sitting kind of up higher, and my husband turns around and looks at me like, what are you doing? You're causing, you know, people are starting to look at you. So I kind of stopped for a while, and then on the way home, I went over the lyrics with him, and we finished writing the song within a half an hour after we got home. So the whole song was like maybe an hour. So we recorded that version. It was originally called America United, and we did a quick production because we wanted to get it out in time for maybe Romney to pick it up when he was running, or, you know, whoever wanted it, you know, basically, any candidate. And we got a real quick production, but we weren't real happy with the final production. So all these 3-4 years we were waiting, going, what do we do, what do we do? And this summer, early this summer, my husband said, you know, there seems to be more blaming, bickering, and infighting, and, you know, political problems, and everybody's judging people. I said, yeah, let's rewrite the song. Let's make it the way we want it to be. It always had the line, let's make America great, which is from Ronald Reagan, basically, in the 1980s. That was one of his slogans that Trump has adopted. And when I heard Trump's slogan of Make America Great Again, I thought, well, this is a perfect opportunity to put that in the song because it was already in there in the first place, but just to highlight it a little bit more, because we all can work together and make America great and greater than it's ever been. But it does take cooperation and kindness and consideration and respect and not always looking for the negative, you know. So that's kind of where we came up with it, and we re-recorded it up in Nashville with George Hare. He's a pretty well-known producer, and really happy with the final product, and, of course, changed the structure a little bit and made it a little bit more user-friendly, listener-friendly, and less wordy. So I think people are going to really – they've been enjoying this new version.
Now, when you first wrote it, that was about 4 years ago, and your career was in its very early stages. I mean, you've progressed in terms of your music career since then. Did you get it to Romney? Were you able to get any interest in it? Did you approach his campaign at all? What happened?
I did. I just think that because it was so late in the game, right before, you know, the election, I didn't get it out till like September. It didn't get into his hands till probably the end of September. And I think if we had started it earlier, it might have had some traction. But it did need a slight rewrite. It was a little too wordy, a little too long. And, you know, I wasn't as good of a songwriter back then because, you know, you learn from every song that you write and you learn from people you work with and you get feedback. And so I think this new song is a lot more powerful. It really states the unification message of, you know, let's get along, let's all work together, let's be neighborly, that kind of thing. And I think the song really is doing better, way better than the last version. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons for that, but also because it's, you know, got the slogan of what Donald Trump and his campaign are doing. Not that I particularly supported any candidate when I wrote the song. Mm. I supported, you know, conservative moral values for America. And that, and
right.
You can hear that song. So,
definitely.
You know, it's just a good song, I think, for every American to hear to remind us that, you know, no matter where you are or where you live or what you believe or what party you belong to or don't belong to or what your views are, that you need to keep your mind open and, you know, find out as much information about the subject as you can, but be polite and not, you know, not just pull the rug out from under people, because we're all Americans and we all want the same things in life. And we need to cut each other a little slack and be kinder and gentler like we used to be to each other.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Dee Dee. At first glance or in first listening, one would get the impression perhaps that it is politically motivated. And yet when you listen to it, it is not politically motivated, because your message is not one that either side is embracing at the moment. Nobody wants to be nice nowadays. It seems like everybody seeks victory and not truth. And this is a message that both sides, or all sides, should listen to and be inspired by. And that's my approach to it. Yes, it has the Make America Great Again. But I think that Donald Trump, as well as his critics, could all learn from this song. Have you had any success, or have you made any attempt to get this song in front of Trump?
I did get the original song somewhat in front of Romney, to answer your question from earlier, and we mm-hmm. have tried to get it to Donald Trump, but as you know, it's very, very difficult to get anything to anyone right before a big election, because there's so much noise and so many things going on. They're just so busy. And, you know, listening to some little songwriter from Houston is not going to be on their priority list. And we have sent it to some of his people, but I don't think he's heard the song yet. If anybody knows him and would love to, I'd love it if you could get it to him to listen
well,
to, because I would love to see him use it, you know.
I think the key is to get it to the Fox News Channel, and then they'll play
right.
it, and then he'll see it. He watches it
yeah,
every day.
Yeah, I think my publicity guy, Brian, has been working on that, but they're also overloaded and inundated with all the Supreme Court nomination and the Russia stuff, and now they're saying that they really do think that maybe Trump was somehow monitored and some things were done kind of illegally. So it's really interesting, all the news that's been hitting lately. And
yeah,
we could use a little more unification in this country.
Yeah, the news is operating to divide everybody even further than they were before. So again, it's nice hearing a positive message from somebody. You mentioned before, you said something very interesting, a little songwriter from Houston. You're not as little as you used to be in terms of your stature in the country music field. You've been winning a lot of awards, and you have been working very hard to make a name for yourself, develop a following, and kind of get a nice connection there in the country music business. Could you share with us how that's going? How's your career going, and what's been happening lately?
Well, thank you, Michael. I have been working really hard. I do feel like I was called to be a songwriter. I'm not really, really young, and I don't really fit in with the 20-somethings that are making it across the board on The Voice and places like that, and people rising in their teens and 20s. I had a midlife career change, basically, or almost a midlife career change, and I decided to go from being a company person to an independent artist, which has been really challenging and very successful as far as personally feeling good about what I do. So as far as a life change, I think no matter how old you are, you're never too old to do the thing that you feel driven and compelled and passionate about, the thing that you're born to do. And I was basically, I think, born to spread this message of hope and inspiration through my music, and called to do that. It was a little bit later in life, which is probably a good thing, because I couldn't have handled all the toughness of the industry if I was younger and more naive. But it's been a whirlwind. It's been great. It's been a great journey. And I think that this song is making people aware, just like you were saying, that there is too much negativity out there in the news and political campaigns, even on social media and blogs. There's just, I read so many people that just are so negative in general. It's really perpetrating this almost, let's get the ratings and let's get the people here because we're writing stuff that's going to make people angry and upset and, you know, get them all worked up. You know, this march and that march and, you know, let's protest this and get people worked up and excited about this cause. And it's not productive. It's not producing anything that's good for the future. It's not really producing anything that gives people hope and encouragement, and those are the things that my music does. So I think from that aspect, it's been very, very fulfilling to me personally. I don't know about financially successful because I don't do this for money or for fame, but I think all that will follow to some degree if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, which is where I am right now. So I feel good about where I am, and I do a lot of charity work. My husband and I are starting a charity called Matthew's Hope for families and people that are related to kids and teens and young people who are addicted to drugs or have passed away from drug overdoses or been, you know, debilitated from drug overdoses. So it's called Matthew's Hope, and that's going to be coming out soon. I've been writing songs for that. My husband's been working on the recording. We've got a website, matthewshope.org. So you could go out there and kind of see what it's about. We're probably going to start taking donations. It's a 501c3 nonprofit. But a lot of people, you know, this is all going along with what we as a family, and my husband Larry, believe is we're here on this earth to make a positive difference in people's lives and impact people in a way that will help people and make this and our country a better place to live.
Well, I find in the country field there still is a positivity in terms of the music. I go back to the 60s and even the 50s. I've been around a long time when music was uplifting and there was sweet music and romance and, feeling groovy and flower power and love and peace. And in many cases, these things are considered in today's culture sappy and old-fashioned, syrupy, saccharine. Have you run into any of that in terms of your music and your philosophy in today's country music business?
Well, I agree with you that country music is a lot more open to, like, even religious themes and things about God and love and, you know, kind of a little bit more sentimental. Like, a lot of the songs are really sentimental about, like, I woke up this morning and saw your blue dress on the chair, and I've thought about how long you've been gone and I've been missing you, and, you know, it's very sentimental and romantic.
Right.
And a lot of it is. I mean, some of it's going more toward the other. But it has been challenging for me as a songwriter who writes in more along positive themes. So not all my songs are like blowing sunshine, you know. But they all have a good message pretty much. And some of them are kind of religious in nature or inspirational in nature, like a song I wrote called The Plans I Have for You, which is loosely based on Jeremiah 29:11, but it doesn't talk about God. It could be about two parents who are wishing the best plans for their children or for their beloved son, or a husband who's wishing something wonderful on his wife and sharing from his heart. I mean, it's just very good writing or good messaging, regardless of what religion or what you believe. It's just a positive song. About love and faith and having faith in each other and having faith in love. So yeah, I have run into that. I am maybe a little different than most songwriters out there. I also have a style that's a little bit more of a retro style of singing that's not as current as some of the other, or not current, I wouldn't say use the word current. I don't know, a better word would probably be, it's not as
trendy. It's
trendy, that's it.
It's not
as trendy as some of the singers out there. And if you listen to a lot of the singers and you start listening to their music, a lot of it, I can't, I mean, maybe it's just me, but I can't tell who the singer is.
Perhaps the reason all these artists sound alike is because the producers are running things these days with all their technology, and they make even people who can't sing sound like they could sing. Coming up next, we're going to listen to the entire recording of America United, and I'll tell you where you can get it. That's next on A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups, continues.
So when we brought him home, we didn't realize that Bear, the rescue dog, was actually sick. He had very flaky skin. He was dropping a lot of fur, and the vet wanted to do steroid injections, special dog food. Nothing seemed to work. So I've been hearing Dinovite on the radio for years.
DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
It never actually crossed my mind to try it until I was just at a dead end. And then it finally sunk in. Oh, you're talking about hair and skin. And all right, I'll try it. Well, it took probably 6 weeks, but after we started using Dinovite, no more flaky skin. He doesn't scratch and itch, and he started to put weight on. It was awesome. He makes us feel like we saved him. Every rescue dog in America deserves Dinovite for 90 days. I wish that we would have started the Dinovite right away. It would have been so much easier.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
An important message for Americans eligible for Medicare. Are you receiving all the benefits available to you? Do you know there's money available to lower your Medicare prescription cost? Well, now is the time to find coverage that's right for you at the right price. You can spend hours looking for it yourself, or you can call Health Markets and let us do the legwork for you. We'll search a variety of plans from nationally recognized companies to find coverage that's the best fit for you at a price that fits your budget. And we'll do it at no charge to you. Plus, you may be able to save money on prescriptions. Call now, see if you qualify, and put our free service to work for you.
800-990-0334. 800-990-0334. 800-990-0334. That's 800-990-0334.
Health Markets Insurance Agency is the DBA of InSphere Insurance Solutions, Inc., licensed in all 50 states and D.C. Service and product availability varies by state. Agents may be compensated based on your enrollment.
Do you use the expensive blue or yellow pills to charge your sex life? Are you thinking about it? What if we can promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pills deliver the exact same results for less than $3. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. And right now, radio callers will get 44 blue or yellow pills for $120 with free discreet shipping. You can save more than $700 off pharmacy prices. Charge your sex life now and save a ton of money. Call now and get your 44 pills and save over $700 and qualify for free shipping. Stop overpaying and call right now.
800-296-1548. 800-296-1548. 800-296-1548. That's 800-296-1548.
Continuing now with A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair as we come to the final segment of this hour of our broadcast. We were listening to a conversation that I conducted with rising country star Dee Dee Wiedekind, talking about her inspirational song, America United. And now, as promised, in somewhat of a departure from our talk format, I'm going to play that song for you in its entirety. I hope you enjoy it. I know you will. And then after the song, I'll tell you where you can find it if you want to add it to your music collection.
United, don't divide us, 'cause united we all stand. We're different, yet all the same, in this great blessed land. Unite us, don't divide us, give us thankful hearts again, and bring us all together now, and choose to take. America, America.
Wedekind, a rising star in the country music field, and her song, America United, that contains lyrics that ought to ring familiar with anyone who follows what's happening in our nation, and it's her vision to make America great again. Very, very bright, articulate woman with plenty of stirring things to say about what's going on in America today. If you'd like to know more about DeeDee Wedekind, you can go to her website. It's www.deedeewedekind.com. She spells her name DeeDee Wedekind. So it's DeeDee Wedekind.com. The song is available, as are her other albums and music, at iTunes. Check it out. It was a pleasure talking with this very fine woman. And that about does it for another installment of A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. Carol Marx returns next week. I want to thank Carol Marx for her fine work, our founder and host of the program. Dwayne Doobie Jr., our producer on the front line, pulling it all together, and our affiliates all across the country. You can check out our website, www.atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E. And on behalf of the entire Touch of Gray broadcast team, I'm Michael Harrison, inviting you to join us next weekend right here for another installment of A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups.